Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver.
Who?
Dr. Tony Weaver.
I don't know why I said it like I was going to pick a fighter.
I don't know what that
Tony,
was about.
Look at the name of the show.
And this is the Who Says the Olympics Should Go Ahead. No, wait. This
who?
Is the Who Says the Olympics Should
That's
Go
right.
Ahead show. That's right. The World Health Organization issued a statement prior to us recording the show indicating that the Olympics should go ahead despite the political turmoil in Brazil, despite the contamination of some of the aquatic venues with sewage, and despite the fact that congregating in a heavily Zika-prone area may, in fact, increase the worldwide spread of Zika. And I mean, they consider these things. I'm not saying that they ignored these things. They considered them and said, no, we do not think any of these things is a deal breaker. And therefore, from a health standpoint, you can go ahead and have your Olympics. Although I have to say it's going to get rather interesting, I think, as we get closer to the Olympics. That's the name of our show. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio. Thanks to our Canadian fans who loyally write in to our webpage every time. And to tell the rest of you how to access our webpage, hear from the University of Kentucky, Manager of Communications Infrastructure, Rick Phillips. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tony. You know, you can get the audio of the shows, WMKY.org. That's Moorhead State Public Radio's website. Find that website. Look around. You'll see some other shows. Listen to them if you want. Look at them if you want. But ultimately, find your way to Health Matters through that menu system. There you will find the most recent shows. Hopefully, it dates back to winter. But, you know, it goes back quite a ways. You can get the, again, the more recent shows. You can read a little about them in case there's something specific you're wanting to hear. I would warn you, though, not always do the summaries explain everything that's in the show. The shows are far more entertaining than the summary lets on to be. Wouldn't you say that, Tony? Wouldn't you just say, would you use the word entertaining to describe that?
The shows are far more than the summary. We'll leave it at that.
If you can read the summary in 1 minute, add 41 more minutes to it, and you'll have our... So, no, but you can get the audio of the shows at WMKY.org. Then jump over onto Facebook. That's where you interact with the show. That's where you can leave feedback. That's where you can participate in the process. Leave us topics. Tell us what the trend is. You know, get us looking in the direction you want us looking in. All you got to do is just, again, go to Facebook.com/HM Radio Show and again, like that page. You'll see regular updates from us. And surprisingly, we do maintain the site ourselves. Tony, you don't have somebody who does that for you, do you?
Nope.
So it's pretty much what you see is what you get. And that is how to interact with Health Matters. Go to Facebook.com/HM Radio Show.
Our sponsor for today's show, insect repellents, mosquito repellents.
How come it's not somebody with who in it?
Yeah.
Were you lazy this week? Come
well,
on.
You know, interesting enough, you know, we've done, every summer we try to talk about chiggers, ticks, various things.
You know, this ought to be the year we talk about snakes. They're really bad this year.
Well, okay. And we'll put that on. But this is the first year in my memory, even though we have West Nile virus, even though we have had some mosquito-borne viruses before, the first time I have seen this much, what I consider fairly high-quality medical information about mosquito repellent. So we thought we would do a summary.
Is this Zika?
This is Zika.
No, I'm saying is Zika causing this.
Yes, I believe it is. Yeah. And first one came from Philip Gregory, PharmD. He's an associate professor of pharmacy practice at the Center for Drug Information and Evidence-Based Practice at Creighton University in Omaha. And he mentions there are the EPA-registered mosquito repellents, and these include DEET, Picaridin, IR3535, and oil of lemon eucalyptus oil. Those are your big four. I want you to remember those four. DEET, the granddaddy of them all, Picaridin, IR3535, and lemon eucalyptus oil are our four. A couple of general things. The lemon eucalyptus oil products are typically not recommended for use in children younger than age 3. For children under 2 months of age, let's just get real. Though they're not going to be terribly active if they're under 2 months of age, put a mosquito netting over the carrier. Don't put chemicals on 2 months or less newborn infants. In Canada, the use of Picaridin products in children under 6 months of age is not recommended. Now, Rick, until I will be honest with you, as a physician, I did not know until I started reading these how the mosquito repellents worked.
Okay. They keep mosquitoes away.
They do, but how?
They repel them.
Thank you. Using catapults, using witchcraft, using...
Using a repellent.
Using a repellent. So Rick is like me, has no idea how these things work. So here's what happens. You spray this stuff or rub this stuff on your skin, and as it slowly evaporates off your skin, it creates a very, very local cloud of noxious stuff that mosquitoes don't like. And it's that simple.
What if you already have the noxious stuff floating around?
The problem is mosquitoes love your noxious stuff.
Uh-oh.
You know, and you know that. You know that very well. Mosquitoes seem to really dig your stuff.
We've talked about this a lot of times. I'm not the bugs don't bother me. I don't know if it's heat. I don't know. Well, now you've explained it. I don't have that stuff.
You don't have the stuff.
I don't have the right stuff.
Well, at any rate, you know, so one of the problems with that is that the mosquito repellents, in fact, have to evaporate, and they also have to smell somewhat. You will not find a clean, non-evaporative mosquito repellent because, by definition, it would not repel mosquitoes, and so that is a problem. Now, let's go over these individually, again, according to our reference for the first fractional portion. Philip Gregory from the Center for Drug Information and Evidence-Based Practice in Creighton University in Omaha. First of all, DEET. He said DEET is present in off deep woods insect repellent, repel 100% insect repellent. A 30% concentration of DEET gives you 6 hours. A 20% gives you 4 to 5 hours. A 6 to 10% gives you about 1 to 3 hours of protection. If you go over 50%, you increase toxicity. You really don't get any additional benefit. That is, it's going to evaporate, and those higher concentrations, while they do evaporate more slowly, you get to a point that above 50%, it doesn't do you any good. 6 hours of protection with the 30%. Safe for children 2 months of age and older. Again, under 2 months, please just don't put chemicals on your infant kids. Children should use the products of 10 to 30% and apply them more often rather than using the higher concentration. And don't apply to the child's eyes, around the child's eyes. Too dangerous. They can rub their eyes. And don't put it on the child's hands because they can rub that just about anywhere. Next one up, Picaridin. It's in Avon Skin So Soft Bug Guard Plus Picaridin. That's how you know it's Picaridin, because it's
says,
plus Picaridin.
Yeah, you just want to say that. How many times are you going to say that?
I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It looks like Picaridin. Oh, by the way, it's Icaridin in Canada. For our Canadian listeners, it's Icaridin, not Picaridin. We got Picaridin down here. But whether it's Picaridin or Icaridin, Rick says, how
you're,
often do I say
you're
it?
Feeling I am spunky today.
I am feeling spunky today. I'm Tony Weaver. That's right. 20% concentration, 7 hours of protection, 10% up to 5 hours. And again, in Canada, not for use in children under 6 months. I think, again, for small children, you can use DEET if they're really active. But for the most part, mosquito netting is handy. IR3535, Avon Skin So Soft, 7.5% concentration, about 10 to 60 minutes of protection.
10 to 60.
That's right.
Why wouldn't we just say up to 60?
Up to 60. But can you imagine? Well, you're going to get 10 minutes. I mean, but honestly, don't you think the mosquitoes ought to give you an honorary first 10 minutes just to get you deep enough into the woods that they'll all get a good meal? You know. But at any rate, you get 10 minutes of protection, 10 to 60 with the IR3535. Lemon eucalyptus oil. It's in Cutter Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent and Repel Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent.
In case you really want to look for it.
Yeah, protection up to 2 hours, not recommended for children younger than 3. So again, these are not quite as good. And they make the point that the Aedes mosquitoes, that these are the ones, the Aegypti and the Albopticus, I believe is the name of it, which is a great name, by the way. These are the ones that carry the Zika virus. And really, DEET is your go-to repellent. It has had more studies, more information done on it than any other. We strongly recommend it. By the way, again, according to our source for this first fractional portion, natural plant oil, citronella oil, cedar oil, geranium oil, lemongrass oil, not recommended for reliable protection. A Consumer Reports test found that products containing these ingredients provided protection for only up to 1 hour or not at all. Maybe that's better than IR 3535, but the not at all was somewhat bothersome. Products with vitamin B1 or garlic, wristbands, ultrasound devices, not recommended due to lack of supporting evidence. Don't depend on these things to protect you. Do's and don'ts. First of all, don't put it underneath your clothing. Your clothing does the repelling, and you don't need a cloud of this vapor underneath your clothing. Don't spray repellents on your face. Spray them into your hands and rub on the face. Avoid contact with the eyes or mouth. Don't let young children apply repellents. I mean, once they get it on their hands, it goes anywhere their hands go. Reapply if mosquito bites occur after the first application. And in the case of some of these, sounds like you need to reapply every 10 minutes. And you may need to use a different type if the bugs are biting. Because, again, it's your cloud. If the bugs don't seem to mind the cloud that's on you, you may need to get a different cloud. And keep in mind that the low-concentration repellents may only provide protection for an hour or so. That is our sponsor, Mosquito Repellents. We're going to come back with more expert advice on this in our second fractional portion. Rick, a couple of things. Before we finish this, since I spent so much time.
Are we
going to
get started finally?
Yes. One, I got a letter from Peter Heimlich.
Okay.
The son of the Heimlich Maneuver Heimlich.
Because you mentioned him on air.
Because I mentioned him. He, as you may recall, he was listed as our Health Matters hottie, our hero of today's youth, because he, in the nursing home at age 96, delivered a Heimlich maneuver, his signature maneuver, to another elderly nursing home resident, thus saving her life. According to the staff member at the nursing home, he was going to do it himself, but after all, there was Heimlich. Why not? You wouldn't get in the way of the man who invented the maneuver. The problem is, this came around the time of the year. They had a Heimlich maneuver day, and it just so happened that Heimlich did the Heimlich close to Heimlich Day. Apparently, there is, as we have found, some dissension among the Heimlich family. There are some family issues. If you go online, you can find these things. I don't want to get into them, and I don't know much about them. But I mentioned that in the segment that Heimlich actually not only published his maneuver in a medical journal, but also began a campaign to increase public awareness. He apparently was very good at self-promotion. And so, again, him doing the Heimlich maneuver at age 96 could be some self-promotion as well as life-saving. It's, what's interesting is, you know, the Heimlich maneuver hasn't been tested scientifically. Peter Heimlich wanted me to be aware of that and that there was a veneer of self-promotion among the elder Heimlich about this. And so I will dutifully report that on the show and let that go. And I will tell you, the Heimlich family is not a happy and loving, close family. I'll just put it that way.
You're a pretty big deal. You are a pretty big deal. I think it's only a matter of time before you get a call from Dr. Oz.
Well, you know, the thing was, I was actually celebrating Heimlich, and that was the problem. Oz, as you know, we're not particularly high on Dr. Oz, and so I suppose, neither is anybody else, and there's no one apparently trying to set the record straight about Mehmet Oz, because there are a lot of things not to set straight. Any rate,
well, now you messed it up.
Yeah,
now
it's
he's
pretty
not
good.
Call
so
you
we've
anymore.
Got we've got two letters here. One from the Florida Centrist Council about our segment on grapefruit, which was true. We still stand by it, and the other from the Heimlich family concerning our promotion of Heimlich and the Heimlich maneuver.
Are you saying that letter didn't change your complete perception and how you think grapefruit taste?
No. I hate grapefruit. There's no doubt about it. Grapefruit is not a fruit. It is only used to describe the size of tumors. That's the only reason grapefruit was ever invented.
Well,
there's no
I mean,
other reason
even the
for
whole
it.
Name. I mean, how could you do something that was named after another fruit?
Yeah.
The whole tree is supposed to, from a distance, supposed to look like fruit. supposed to look like grapes. So you name it grapefruit. Boy, were you thinking right.
And here's what Rick does. In case you haven't noticed, this segment is running down. We're about to go to a commercial break.
And Tony desperately wants to start something new.
I wanted to mention about Zika and the Olympics. And Rick says, you don't have time for that.
You don't.
So he just launches into this diatribe on grapefruit, guaranteeing we're going to get another letter from the Florida Centrist Council, and we're going to blow all of our time to the break. Thank you very much, Rick. This is why we're still looking for a new co-host. Applications,
you know,
available
here's the
on
thing,
our
Tony.
Website.
Tony, I've been on a diet that's put me on. I can pretty much have any fruit I want. I've yet to buy grapefruit.
Unlimited. Take a walk. Take a break. We'll be back with our second fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Who Says the Olympics Should Go Ahead show. That strikes me as being funny. I'm sure I'm the only person in the Western Hemisphere who thinks that's funny. But when I read the title of the article, it says, "The Who Says the Olympics Is Like If Someone Is
and
Irate."
And Tony, so on the radio, you're hearing Who. I think if you were to see it on paper, I think the WHO.
That's right. The World Health
might
Organization
look a little different. It might be a little more funny.
Has said from a health standpoint that the Olympics could and should go ahead. That the risk of exacerbating a worldwide epidemic of Zika virus is unlikely enough. We should not cancel the Olympics. And that's what they said. But it struck me as being funny the way it was reported out. Our sponsor for the second time, mosquito repellents, because after all, we are worried about the Zika virus. And this one came from a health writer named Brenda Goodman, and it was reported out on June 3rd. And again, we're talking about our big four. Let me remind you of the big four. They are DEET, picaridin, lemon eucalyptus oil, and IR 3535. And some information situation here. According to the CDC and the EPA, four ingredients to look for, those four. D, developed by the U.S. military in 1946. Most widely used, most studied active ingredient for mosquito repellents. It has gotten a bad rap. It is a scary chemical, but even for pregnant women, it appears to be safe. In fact, it's been more studied in pregnant women than any other mosquito repellent. It's in Off Deepwood Spray, Sawyer's Ultra 30 Insect Repellent Lotion, and 3M's Ultrathon Insect Repellent Lotion and Spray. A study of nearly 900 pregnant women in Thailand, which is apparently where you can study pregnant women, followed moms and babies for a full year after birth with no harmful effects seen for DEET used on the skin during the second and third trimesters. Now, I will tell you, apparently the Zika virus is not nearly as bad in the third trimester. That's new information out. It appears to do most of its damage in the first and second trimester of pregnancy. Animal studies also failed to find any ill effects of DEET. No other active ingredient has been studied during pregnancy. Problem with DEET, it's heavy, it's oily, it has a pungent odor. And again, we explained that odor is a part of how it works. It melts plastic.
Ooh.
But, you know, if you've ever, I've got a box of DEET in my, I've got a bottle of DEET in my tractor toolbox, and the plastic lid really gets pretty nasty by the end of the season. Also can obviously have effect on synthetic fabrics. Picaridin, found in sprays, lotions, and wipes, including Sawyer's Premium Picaridin Insect Repellent Lotion and Sprays, Avon Skin So Soft Bug Guard Plus Picaridin Pump, and Cutter Advanced Insect Repellent Fragrance-Free Wipes. Again, fragrance-free, meaning it doesn't smell as bad as DEET. Consumer Reports gave two Picaridin products top marks for repelling mosquitoes such as the Aedes mosquitoes for a full 8 hours. Lemon Eucalyptus, a chemical copy of the lemon eucalyptus oil, so it is not a natural product. In fact, it is a chemical that is chemically identical to the oil of lemon eucalyptus. Found in Cutter Lemon Eucalyptus Spray and Repel Lemon Eucalyptus. In Consumer Reports test, the Repel product, 30% oil of eucalyptus kept mosquitoes away for 7 hours. IR3535, and again, the previous segment we talked about, it was fairly short order. It only lasted 10 minutes to an hour in one test. Been used in Europe for 20 years and registered in the U.S. since 1999. It also, like DEET, can harm plastics and synthetic fabrics. No products made consumer list reports of recommended repellents. So IR3535 has two thumbs down in our first two reviews of insect repellents. It takes a concentration of about 20% DEET to create a strong enough vapor barrier, and so anything under that is going to be very short lasting. But again, over 50%, 20 to 50%, it gives you 6 to 13 hours as this source, but over 50% doesn't really help. 30% oil of lemon eucalyptus lasted for 4 to 6 hours. 20% picaridin lasted for 6 hours. IR 35 with 20% or greater work for 7 to 10 hours, but don't work as well against certain species of mosquitoes. So it may be, Rick, that the 10 to 60 minutes that we had on the previous one was with a different mosquito species. One thing that they all mention is your mosquitoes may, in fact, not be affected by the repellent you've got, so it doesn't hurt to have a couple. If you're getting bitten pretty heavily, you may want to switch during mid-activity. Natural is not the way to go again. The citronella, clove, lemongrass, rosemary didn't last an hour. Other home remedies, Listerine. I never heard people rubbing Listerine on their skin.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
Well, it doesn't work right either. Garlic pills, B vitamins, no evidence they offer any protection whatsoever. Lotions take about 20 minutes to allow the evaporation to start, so the spray-ons will be a little bit faster starting. And they last for about 3 years after you buy them. So if you've got one on the shelf and it's not been out in the sunlight or in an especially hot place or a cold place, you're probably okay. You can use DEET on babies older than 8 weeks of age, but we have said before, if they're not moving around a lot, throw up a mosquito screen and don't put chemicals on young kids. That is our sponsor, Insect Repellents, for the second time. We'll give you some more information, some tips on application in our third and final fractional portion. Now, we were talking about Zika, and I've got to get through this, Rick, even though I know you want to talk about grapefruit for some reason.
No, I don't.
John Sperall, who's the coach of the men's indoor volleyball team, said he was preserving his sperm to use for a planned future pregnancy. He's 44. He wants to have another kid, and he does not want to have to wait a year in case he comes down with Zika virus while he's at the Olympics. So he is freezing his sperm. His wife, Michelle, their 7-month-old daughter, will not go to Rio because of concerns over Zika, and he is freezing his sperm. British long jumper Greg Rutherford said he was freezing sperm, and Paul Gasol, who's an NBA basketball player, will be on the Olympic basketball team, was considering doing that. So that's one thing they're doing. American cyclist TJ Van Garderen, I guess that's what it is, removed himself from consideration for an Olympic spot. They've had a few Olympians actually to pull out. He mentioned another Olympian mentioned that his brother's wife was pregnant, so his family would not be going with them. The World Health Organization said that athletes and spectators, except for pregnant women, should feel free and comfortable attending the Olympics. They're going to put out three times as many condoms because they're worried about sexual transmission of Zika. They're trying to keep overall transmission down so that we don't create a worldwide outbreak. Golfers, tennis players, and basketball players who have a career outside of the Olympics have had strong reservations and may be pulling out. Kerry Walsh Jennings, three-time gold medalist in beach volleyball, said she actually was in Rio for a tournament in March and didn't seem to have any problems. I took my oils, I'm going to bring my bug repellent, and I escaped mosquito bites until the last day, she said. I did not get Zika, and her children would not go because they were really too young to go to Brazil anyway. So there's an example, kind of a cross-section of what Olympic athletes are doing and coaches are doing. It is not to be taken lightly, and we'll see what happens with the Summer Olympics. There will be some health concerns as well. Now, Rick, I did the rest of this show just for you. Just for you.
I'm looking forward.
Gadgets. Some work and some don't.
They all work.
Some just don't do what they say they do.
They don't do what you want them to do.
Right. Well, the first one, this was presented at the American College of Sports Medicine, interestingly enough, at their annual meeting in Boston on June 2nd. And it's about those standing desks, those stand-up desks.
They don't work.
Yeah. Wait, you said everything works. You said...
Oh, no, they work. They work at making me want to sit down.
Yeah. Do you know any of your colleagues that are using them?
We had one gentleman in the office... who used a stand-up desk for a period of time of about, I want to say about a year, but then it went away, and I've not seen one since.
Well, there was a...
Now, I've had a couple requests from staff for them.
Well, I think you can, in good conscience, turn them down now. These researchers presented this paper.
Hey, you guys, you know who you are. You're not getting them now.
That's right. They looked at study participants performing tasks such as copying definitions from dictionaries, in a sort of a simulated work situation. Now, what's interesting...
No, wait a minute. I don't go through repetitive motion like that.
Yeah, I know, but that is actually my job that I was hired to do, was to copy definitions from dictionaries. So this is fascinating to me. I'm in administration, and that's what we administration people do all the time.
You know what the difference between you and me? Is you brute force things, I finesse things.
So you cut and paste definitions from the dictionary.
Or I write something that'll cut and paste them over and over and over again.
While you watch it.
While you can do all that.
Well, let me just get through this.
You get carpal tunnel. Let me get done.
Let me get this. So they sat continuously. Then they stood for 30 minutes and sat for 30 minutes. They stood continuously, or they sat for 30 minutes and took a two-minute walk at a self-selected pace. And what they found, if sitting for the whole thing was your baseline, if you sat the whole thing, your baseline. If you sat and then you stood for 30 minutes, you burn about 7.5% more calories. If you stood up the whole time, you burned 12% more calories. But if you put that little walk in, and again, what they're talking about was what I say. They were sitting. This was over 4 hours. You would sit for 30 minutes and take a two-minute walk. You could burn 24% more calories. So you doubled your standing up all the time improvement by just taking a two-minute walk every half hour. And you didn't have to spend any money on special desk or anything like that, or annoy your cubicle mates or anything like that. So over a 8-hour workday, sitting and standing would burn 43 more calories than continuous sitting. That's 1/4 of a candy bar, you know, something like that. Sitting and walking would burn 107, which is about half of a candy bar. And that's it. That's the best that you were able to do.
So people, yeah, but what if somebody's coming at it because... I don't know. Maybe somebody wants to do it for a different reason. I don't know.
Yeah. If you're doing it for calories, if you're doing it because sitting is bad for you, standing does not turn out to be that much better from a calorie standpoint. Now, they did not look at the treadmill desks, and there may be some other, as you said, some other reason to order a standing desk. But if you are ordering a standing desk in order to lower your weight by burning off more calories, you'd be better off to keep your current desk and just get up and walk down the hall.
I would have thought
it'd
been like sciatica or, you know, some kind of a back thing where it actually feels better to stand up.
I cannot imagine such a thing, to be honest.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you can stand up and stretch, but as far as working standing up and doing work like I do, copying definitions out of a dictionary, for instance, you do that standing up, that's not going to help your back.
Okay. You say tomato.
Yeah. Did you want me to define back for you? Is that what you want? Because I can do it because I can do this all day long.
Well, yeah, clearly you can do things over and over and over and over. You know,
the interesting thing about this was reported by Bethany Barone Gibbs from the University of Pittsburgh, and she actually uses a standing desk. So you talk about conflict of interest. She had a huge conflict of interest, but really didn't find anything very good about those standing desks. So standing desk, we, at least for burning calories, they don't seem to work. So that's gadget number one. Gadget number two, Fitbit. Works or doesn't work?
Works.
Works. Now,
annoying is all get out. And why I don't throw it against a wall, because it just tells me I'm lazy. Says it in big bold letters. You're
now, is this is it? Are you lazy by your heart rate or lazy by your steps or what definition
yes.
are you? Okay. Well, this
would you
was,
like me to include sleep?
This was
the one
an
thing it does do is it tells me I sleep good.
All right. This was an interesting case that was reported in the Annals of Emergency Medicine.
Do you track your steps per day?
No, I do not.
So you have no idea how much you stand up.
I am not. I am absolutely clueless on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we're not going to have this discussion.
No, go ahead. If you want to say something.
I need comparison, and I'm not going to compare against nothing.
Well, I have tried to increase my physical activity. I mean, I think the idea of getting up and walking.
What kind of phone do you have? Do you have Android?
Yeah,
I do. It's tracking it. Your Android phone is tracking your steps.
Tracking my steps.
You just don't know it.
And the thing is, though, I leave my Android phone on my desk when I get up and go out.
Well, you're not a true device patriot.
Yes, that's true. And I'm very proud of that.
You're a ninny.
Call me a ninny if you want to. And my phone is not going to tell you how far I'm stepping. But this was use of a Fitbit, a case report. A guy came into the emergency room, and he had had a seizure. And when they looked at him, they noticed he had that irregular heartbeat you've heard so much about called atrial fibrillation.
Right.
Now, again, for our radio fans, the heart has two big pumping chambers, and one pumps blood to the lungs, that's your right ventricle. The other pumps blood that makes your blood pressure, and that's your left ventricle. Those are the things you have to get by. There are two chambers at the top that help fill them. Those are the atria. And the atria can fibrillate. They can just flutter instead of beating, and that's atrial fibrillation. The problem is blood clots form when they're just shimmering there instead of actually beating. So the ER doctors had to know how long this guy's heart was fluttering. How long was the atrial fibrillation? When did it start? If it had been present for very long, the odds of a blood clot go up. Now, I don't want to make a big deal out of this because you can find that out different ways. You can do something called a transesophageal echocardiogram to look for blood clots. But if you know that the atrial fibrillation is new, you can just cardiovert them right there. You know, use your little paddles and get the heart back to a regular beat. If you're not sure, we usually use a blood thinner for a while, and then we do the cardioversion. Well, they looked at the Fitbit. And they found this guy's heart rate had jumped about the time he said he had the seizure. And so they concluded from interrogating the Fitbit, they knew when the heart went into an irregular rhythm.
So they could figure out, okay, it's time to go in cardiovert.
Yeah. So it saved them. Now, again, it's so that's not a mystery that could not be solved in other ways. But it was pretty cool that they interrogated the Fitbit and they said, okay, we know when your heart jumped out of its regular rhythm because here the rate suddenly went up and that is the atrial fibrillation.
So here's the interesting question I would ask. Who on that staff was wise enough to quickly interrogate that device? I mean, that to me, those devices are personalized. They're hooked to our mobile clients. I wouldn't think it would be the easiest thing for somebody who doesn't know me, doesn't know anything about me, to come up and all of a sudden just be able to get access to my Fitbit.
Right. And keep in mind, the guy had a seizure, so it's not like he's coming
in. He wasn't
in.
Helpful.
Yeah, he probably wasn't as helpful as a person who was in full possession of his mental faculties, but somehow they got it. Now, I will say, in general, ER doctors are very resourceful. They go through so many different variations of human problems every day that I consider them to be some of the more resourceful people I've ever run into. But at any rate, Fitbit worked. Next device.
Wait a minute. Do you wear a Fitbit?
I don't.
Why not?
I know what I need to do.
Really? What is that?
I need to sleep better. I need to exercise more.
Okay. So clearly something's not annoying you enough. You need some more annoyance.
Yeah. Well, I don't need data on it.
What? But don't you want to know how you sleep? Don't you want to know how you...
No, I know I need to do better. And I know there will be limits to what I can do because I get very annoyed at my co-host and other people, and that just keeps me from actually being the human being I could be. I could be a very nice guy if you would stop annoying and irritating me all the time.
No.
Okay. Just if anybody out there wonders.
Tony, my dad told me once a long time ago that life is full of disappointments.
And you're clearly mine.
And it's not going anywhere because
okay.
They're not going to fire me.
Next device. This is a great one. I actually like this. I don't know what to make of this. It's called the Cerebe Sleep System. The FDA just approved it about 2 weeks before this show airs. Yeah, for now. That's true. We'll get to that in our third fractional portion. These things don't always work. But functional brain study. Do you have problems getting to sleep in the first place?
No.
You don't. You fall asleep right away.
20 seconds.
Okay. This is me. I have a lot of problems. They call it primary insomnia, where, one of the problems is I stay up thinking about stuff. and they've done functional brain imaging studies. The frontal cortex, the executive brain, remains active in people with insomnia during sleep, preventing them from getting a deeper sleep. And this is a problem for me, is that I'm always thinking about stuff, and it keeps me from going to sleep. Well, the Cerebe Sleep System is a software-controlled bedside device that cools and pumps fluid into a forehead pad, and it cools your forehead down to a pre-specified temperature that reduces hyperactivity in your frontal cortex. It, sort of like ice cream, produces a brain freeze,
right,
that helps you go to sleep. Three studies, more than 230 patients, over 3,800 research nights. One, they showed by EEG tracings of the brain, there was slowing. And a significantly, a statistically significant reduction going to stage one sleep and the time it takes to get to the first stage, and also when the time it gets to the second stage. Additionally, the patients said, the quality of sleep improved during 30 days of in-home use. So this thing cools your forehead, slows down your brain activity, and apparently that helps you get to the best stages of sleep faster. And you, all you know is the next morning you feel a little bit better than before you wore this device. And apparently it is a pad. It's got fluid flowing through it, and it's got a, I guess it's basically a thermostat is what it is. And it's called the Cerebe Sleep System, and it is now approved. And I will say one thing about this device, Rick. Whether or not this device turns out to be the most helpful thing ever, this device appears, and I say appears because, as Rick said, we are sometimes surprised with this stuff, but appears to be a safer alternative to sleeping pills. So something to think about, especially if you are having problems getting to sleep in the first place. This does not really take care of late-night wake-ups. All it does is slow down your frontal cortex enough to allow you to get to the deeper stages of sleep faster. So one thumb up right now, preliminarily, for the Cerebe Sleep System. Speaking of thumbs up.
No, he's speaking of sleep.
It's time to wake up and take a break. We've about exhausted all of this fractional portion, talking about devices and things that irritate us. We're going to come back and irritate you some more with our third and final fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the W Health Organization, the World Health Organization.
Yeah, honestly, so you're going to abbreviate or initialize the first one, but then say the second one. You know what? I think if we peeled back the onion that is Tony Weaver,
you said,
we
would, this is, if
would
you
we
look
cry?
At the paper... Oh, you'd definitely cry. I cry every day when I think about it. Our sponsor is mosquito repellents, and we got some tips on mosquito repellents. This came from Dr. Audrey Linhart, the entomology branch of the Division of Parasitic Diseases and Malaria.
Would you want to work there?
At the CDC. Well, you might as well know what's going on. Mosquitoes transmit diseases that kill as many as 750,000 people every year. And that's worldwide, but still, that's a lot of people to die from mosquitoes. And again, we in the U.S., growing up, we had ticks, we had mosquitoes. The conditions that caused problems for most of us were rare. Once yellow fever was understood fairly well, and we were able to control them. Well, that's really, there have been a, we'll call them, for lack of a better word, a rash of mosquito-borne diseases. And we were looking at one. We looked at West Nile virus spread throughout the United States, and these things have this very common, call them arboviruses, arthropod-borne viruses. They have this very common thing that most of them cause basically flu-like symptoms, and then some of them seem to go to the brain or central nervous system where they can do some bad things. In the case of Zika, it can cause something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, but more importantly, it is absolutely toxic to the developing brain in the first and second trimesters of pregnancy, and it appears that it hangs around for a while. So if you have Zika virus in you, even if you don't know it and you do get pregnant, it can have an effect on the child. So this is something that we really need to take seriously. Even those of us who have not used mosquito repellents before have not really worried about it. You just scratch, you don't worry about it. In this case, I think you should start worrying about it, particularly if you were thinking about having children. For mosquito-borne diseases such as West Nile, dengue virus, and chikungunya, no vaccines available. For Zika, no vaccines available. Treatment is only supportive care. So the best thing you can do is avoid mosquito bites. Now again, the four EPA-approved, EPA-registered active ingredients, DEET, IR-3535, oil of lemon eucalyptus, or picaridin, are your big four. And here are the tips from Audrey Linhart at the CDC on using mosquito repellents. Before applying it, encourage read the label. You've got the active ingredients, the directions, and the duration. Be sure that you look at that. Apply them only to exposed skin or clothing. There is no advantage from having a cloud of mosquito repellent underneath your shirt or underneath your shorts. That doesn't help you out. Only exposed skin. Don't apply near eyes or mouth, and apply sparingly around the ears. When using sprays, don't spray directly into the face. When using sprays, do not spray directly into the face. Spray on your hands and then apply. Never use repellents over cuts, wounds, or irritated skin. Avoid breathing the spray. Don't use it near food. And after returning indoors, wash your skin with soap and water. The EPA does not recommend any additional precautions for either pregnant or nursing women. Do these things. Don't put it on unexposed skin. Wash off when you finish. And even if you're pregnant, that is the EPA recommendations. For parents, insect repellent should be not sprayed directly on a child. Put it on your hands. Apply it onto the skin that is not covered by clothing. Should never be applied on the child's hands. It is simply impossible for a child to keep their hands still. They will go somewhere where you don't want them to go. After returning indoors, the treated skin and clothes should be washed with soap and water, or the child can bathe. Insect repellents not applied to children younger than 2 months. Again, get the mosquito netting. Don't go under 2 months. American Academy of Pediatrics recommends lower concentrations of DEET, no more than 30% on children. Lemon eucalyptus oil should not be used on children under age 3, according to the CDC. And if a reaction occurs, wash the area with soap and water. And if a medical evaluation is sought, bring the repellent in so that the medical person will know what caused the reaction, the alleged reaction. So that is our sponsor, insect repellents. That is all we know about insect repellents, but we have some very strong information in 2016, mainly triggered by the Zika virus. Now, Rick, this is a follow-up from our last week's show. We talked about the Zikuity Sumatriptan patch. Sumatriptan, an ingredient we commonly use for migraine headaches. There are tablets. There are orally disintegrating tablets that get it to your brain rapidly. Teva Pharmaceuticals had a patch, and that patch was, it was huge. It wrapped halfway around your thigh, and it had an iontophoresis system where they used a battery to ionize the sumatriptan, and it got more of it in your system faster. And you slapped that thing on your thigh, you pushed a button, turned it on, and you were getting medicine in instantly. The problem is...
Oops.
Yeah, there was some nasty reactions from this. Since marketing began in September 2015, according to the FDA, a large number, that's all we know, a large number of patients reported they experienced burns or scars underneath the patch. Skin discoloration, blistering, cracked skin. The FDA was investigating it, and Teva Pharmaceuticals voluntarily suspended sales. As a matter of fact, if you go and search the Teva site, the Zikuity site now, it just says simply that they have decided to suspend
sales.
They
have been health mattered.
Yep. Healthcare professionals should discontinue prescribing Zikuity. And if any of our radio fans out there have these monstrously large iontophoresis patches at home, please do not use them. We recommend you get rid of them, even if you've used them successfully before. There is something fundamentally wrong, we believe, about this patch, and they have pulled it off the market. Rick and I were rather amazed that the FDA was investigating them, and they were not saying anything, and that was not a stable, equilibrated situation. They, in fact, were getting ready to suspend manufacturing, and that's what they've done.
And typically, in typical fashion, we were right.
Yeah. Well, we you know, you look at these things, you think, well, that's ridiculous. And in fact, it is ridiculous. We can call, Rick and I can call ridiculous. We can call stupid. We see it, we call it. You can depend on us to tell you. If we say it's stupid, it really is stupid. It's not just vaguely, somewhat remotely stupid, or it might be stupid from a certain angle. It is wholly, thoroughly stupid.
It is absolutely as stupid as we think it is.
Yeah. And so we know stupid, and that's how we got on the radio in the first place. And speaking of stupid, here it is, the device that we've all been waiting for, the Aspire Assist system. We had Gene Jones on the program talking about this, and Gene Jones was absolutely stunned, aghast, amazed at this. But it is now, as of June 14th, FDA approved. What we're talking about is the Aspire Assist system, a thin tube implanted in your stomach, connecting to an outside port on the skin of your belly. That's right. When you finish, you have a port on your belly connected directly to your stomach.
Let me guess. Is it a navel port?
I know. And I would have laughed had it been anybody else, because that was genuinely funny. But since it was you, I am not even doing you the favor of laughing at something that would have been reasonably funny if someone else had mentioned
Tony,
it.
Tony, do me a favor, would you?
Yeah.
Think about that later and laugh.
A naval port, very good. And in a storm, it could be any port. I know that. Let's just go ahead. Let's run through all these. But at any rate.
But you said belly. I'm thinking
naval. I know. I understand it. It's not that I don't understand it. It's just that I'm not going to laugh at it.
Well, humor me on this one and get this over with.
I'm trying to get the article.
It's seldom do I get you speechless.
You know, what we're going to need to do is from now on is we're just going to record in separate studios and we'll just dub you in when I need.
I thought that's what they did.
Stupid. That's what we'll do. At any rate, this thing is a tube that goes from your stomach out to the skin, and 20 minutes after you finish a meal, you pump your stomach.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. Now you remember this thing. It's ugly. It pumps.
Ooh.
You can pump about 30% of the food out of the stomach, and guess what happens when you pump food out of your stomach? You lose weight. It is a throw-up machine.
It's
a vomit machine.
Yeah, that's bad. Bulimia enabler?
Yeah, if you want to call it that. But basically, FDA approved it for adults, obese, BMI 35 to 55, unable to lose weight with other methods. You can pump your stomach. Rates of obesity are very high among women, 40% for first time, according to the CDC, 35% for men. We know there are a lot of obese people out there. And this may be a solution for some people. It's rather sad, though, simply just to basically implant a tube into the stomach and then just pump your stomach after you eat rather than doing anything else. FDA said the device people lost an average of 12% of their body weight in 1 year, compared to 3.6% for people who actually kept all the food in their stomach after they ate. Side effects: nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea, plus having a tube in your stomach, which is permanently implanted and goes out through your skin. None of those things is a good thing, but the Aspire Assist system, now FDA approved for adults, obese adults, with body mass index of 35 to 55. We got time for a little bit more, don't we, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I got
even you have time for something.
Well, I wanted to make sure our radio fans knew about Zacuity. I think in the interest of medical responsibility, they suspend.
Well,
and I know in
let's
today's,
be honest, we're gloating.
Yeah. In today's legal climate, they can't really say that this is a bad system that they screwed up. They can't do any of those things because they're going to get hit
with a lot
of lawsuits. But we can say it's a bad system. They screwed up. They should have tested. How do you do that? How do you put a patch on that burns people's skin? You know, at some point, you would think if you had properly tested it, someone would say, hey, you know what?
My skin is getting warm.
My skin is on fire. Maybe you should rethink this thing. Maybe you should cut down the...
My leg hurts right here.
Right here. And I've got this big red
mark.
Patch-shaped mark here. You know, and they said, well, skin redness can occur. Well, yeah, it also occurs after blowtorches. You say, you know, it's one of the side effects of a blowtorch, but they, on the other hand, are not FDA approved.
At least not for the purpose you're wanting.
I know. All right. Well, speaking of dastardly, I don't know the idea, but this was,
Tony. We're coming in on a close.
That's right. June 9th of 2016, Pfizer increased the list prices of all of its medications in the U.S. by an average of 8.8%. Second time this year, they went up 10% for 100 drugs that they market on January 1st. Now they're up 8.8% for all their drugs. And this is, you know, quite simply, this is that phenomenon we were talking about. When we all have to buy insurance, when the insurance now will pay for medications, the drug companies see this and they realize that they can make more money off the same drugs. So these are not new drugs. They are simply taking advantage of the fact that everyone has to buy insurance and we cannot negotiate these prices. We have been prohibited from negotiating these prices, so they just increase them. And that's what they did. They're trying to fly under the radar here. They did not really make an announcement for that. This is what a Pfizer spokesman said. And this is, and there are times when you know someone is trying to avoid a question. And I will tell you, this is one of those times. According to a Pfizer spokesman, last year, the company paid $4.6 billion in rebates to Medicare, Medicaid, and commercial users. Okay. The reason they paid $4.6 billion in rebates is they charged too much and they had
exactly.
the 4.6 to rebate.
Exactly.
There's nothing. That's not noble of them. That's not as if they are doing charity work. They, in fact, are giving you back part of the excessive amount of money they charged you.
The government would call that overtaxing.
Yep. And the Pfizer spokesman said some of our most widely used medicines, including Lyrica, Ibrance, which is a medicine for breast cancer, Prevnar, the pneumonia vaccine, will not have an increase. Well, the reason that Ibrance and Lyrica don't have an increase is they already increased them in January. They did do a 9.4% increase for Lyrica in January, a 12.9% increase for Viagra, and a 5% increase for Ibrance back in January. So, yes, they did not increase those this time because they increased those less than 6 months ago. So, in general, we're seeing some outrageous things happening on drug prices. Meanwhile, a company like Pfizer is just across the board doing an 8.8% increase on top of a 10.4% increase in January for 100 top drugs, and they're doing it because they can. That is the only reason they're doing it, simply because they can.
Yeah, it's sickening, Tony. It just frustrates you to know that, you know, meanwhile, back at the ranch, you know, most people are not getting raises, or if they are, they're so small, they're 1, 2%, you know, 3%. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, these prices are just, I mean, and the thing is, again, it's not like they're losing money, right? Yeah. It's not like they're trying to solve a deficit.
I think of them sort of like Rick Phillips. These drugs are paid based on how much you can stand. That's the only way that they get paid. And I think that's very similar. I mean, I could talk to your employees, but you are paid how much based on how much people can stand.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So it's a very similar thing. And the thing is, it has nothing to do with intrinsic value. These drugs, they have value, but their value did not increase 18%.
Well, nor did demand go up.
No, just simply there is a mechanism now where they can get paid more for doing the same thing, and they chose to take advantage of it. Now, if you're a businessman, if you have stockholders, why would you not charge as much as you possibly could? And, of course, there are many business interests in healthcare. It's embarrassing, though, that they exist side by side with people, doctors, nurses, hospitals, other people who are trying to provide free care for people that can't afford it, for people that are trying to assist people who are having a very difficult time in paying their bills. These people are in healthcare side by side with a company that will increase their prices just because they can, and then turn that money over to their stockholders. This coexistence of very, very profit motivated people along with very altruistic people in medicine makes it a very uneven playing field. You know, working in a free clinic, working with people who are constantly trying to make ends meet, I'm very well aware of sacrifices made by some healthcare providers.
What would be neat is if we could get them to wear those patches. And then you can only give out, you can only increase the prices as much as you can stand turning the thresholds up on this thing.
You're going to have to wear your security patch
exactly. Anytime
you have a meeting to increase your prices.
Exactly.
Everybody gets a security patch.
Okay, we're going to go up 1%. Okay, turn it up. 2%, turn it up more. And if you can stand it, you can have it.
Yeah, at that point, there's actually a reason to pay more because you're paying for the pain, which, again, is a lot like Rick Phillips when you think about it, but we won't go there at all.
Matter of fact, we will go is away. Special thanks to our Summer Morehead State Public Radio producer, Tanner Boyd, and to Eric Bilber, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org, or just visit us on Facebook, do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show, and remember these wise words from the Zacuity website, now defunct.
Your migraine doesn't wait, and neither should you.
Health Matters is a radio system that's designed to be heard over a one-hour period to deliver information, the most prescribed migraine treatment, through your ear and into your bloodstream.
Health Matters can cause serious side effects, like red marks, including heart attack and other heart problems, which may lead to death.
Stop using Health Matters and get emergency medical help right away if you have symptoms of a heart attack. Health Matters is not for people with risk factors for heart disease unless your doctor does a heart exam and it shows no problem.
Do not use Health Matters if you have heart problems or a history of heart problems,
a stroke, transient ischemic attacks, or problems with your blood circulation.
Narrowing of blood vessels to your legs, arm, stomach, or kidney, if you know what that is.
Yeah, you have two of them, but if you have one of them,
you have to know you're narrowing.
Yeah, that's it. Hemiplegic migraines or basilar migraines. If you're not sure if you have these, you should ask your healthcare provider.
Uncontrolled high blood pressure.
Severe liver problems.
What should I avoid while using Health Matters?
Do not bathe while using Health Matters. Do not shower or swim while listening to Health Matters. Health Matters can cause dizziness, weakness, or drowsiness. If you have these symptoms, do not drive a car, use machinery, or do anything where you need to be alert.
You should remove Health Matters before you have a magnetic resonance imaging procedure.
Well, what are the possible side effects of Health Matters?
Most people either have some skin redness after removal of Health Matters. This redness will usually go away in 24 hours. Tell your healthcare provider if you have any side effect that bothers you or does not go away.
Oh, and by the way, FDA is investigating the risk of serious burns and potential permanent scarring with the use of Health Matters Radio System for migraine headache. Since marketing of Health Matters System began in September 2015, a large number of patients have reported they experienced burns or scars on their ears.
The reports included descriptions of severe redness, pain, skin discoloration, blistering, and cracked skin. As a result, FDA is investigating these serious adverse events to determine whether future regulatory action is needed, and will update the public with new information when the FDA review is complete.
And they did. Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week for Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.